Today, my message is going to be entitled, It's All Jesus. And I know you're going to be blessed today because I want you to walk out of here with your mind changed. I know you will in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready to whoop the devil. Amen. John, St. John, turn to St. John chapter 19 and verse 28 and then 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to go a few different places today, but those are our foundation scriptures. I'm going to start more than a series. I'm going to stay on this teaching until I believe our church has got it. Amen. If it take me 4 months, if it take me 6 months, I'm going to stay on it until I believe we got it. You know, being a pastor, I watch people. You know, 1991, something powerful happened in my life. You know, you guys know my testimony. I don't have to go into it, but 1991, I was drastically changed. I had an encounter with the living God, and I was changed forever. I went from smoking 51s and drinking 40 ounces and smoking cigarettes and opium balls. And that's my testimony. Yours might be different. But I went from that kind of illicit life, gangs, violence, all that stuff. I went from all of that to in one day changing. You hear what I'm saying? Changing completely. The power of God changed me. And I said, Lord, I said, you know, being a pastor, you see so many people. You see people come and they say, Pastor, you know, I'm with you. Oh, God, touch my life. And then, you know, a month later, they're gone. And you're like, what happened to that person? And no matter how much effort you poured into that relationship, they still didn't have the stability or the power to sustain their personal relationship with God. Amen. And there's a teaching that I've taught at our church a number of times. And I'm going to revisit this teaching, but I'm going to teach it over the course of time to where I can make sure everybody here got it. Amen. You notice that we're taking our praise and worship a little bit longer? Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. You know why? Because we don't even want to get up here and start trying to minister the word until the power of God has hit the place. We don't want to do that. Amen. I mean, I don't even like living my life without the presence of God. I couldn't withstand the stress and the pain and the agony and the people talking about you and writing about. I couldn't even take that if I didn't have the presence of God. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. You know, I'm telling the truth. You try to help people and they kick you in the butt, smack you in the forehead, Facebook all about you. Come on, somebody say amen. You know what I mean? Tell lies on you, all kind of stuff. And you're trying to help people. But you nevertheless, people, I tell my wife this all the time, and I tell my kids, people are just people. Come on, somebody say amen. When you wake up in the morning, you expect somebody to be like you, you got a problem. Because guess what? They're not like you. And thank God, because you are a problem. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. I wake up in the morning, I say, Lord, have mercy. How do you live with me? That sometimes, you know what I mean? I realize I got some issues, but I'm growing. And I'm changing, and I'm getting better. Amen? But I learned a process in the Word of God here that's helping me through the process of change as I continue to change. But here's the most important part of it all. No matter how many experiences you have with God, Jesus can appear right here and stand in this room and look at you, and you could be forever changed for that moment. But guess what? Even Jesus can't change the way you think. You have to change the way you think. God has put it under your control for you to change your own thinking. And it's our mind that keeps us in bondage. It's our mind and the way we think that keeps us, come on, somebody say amen, that keeps us hooked to pornography or hooked to alcohol. Or listen, that stuff don't have the power to control you. Not one person on planet Earth has the power to control you. You are controlled because, guess what? Can I be a real pastor today? Because we like to be controlled. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm going to tell you the truth right here. I was talking with a woman of God the other day, and we were riding in the van, and first person I ever heard say this. And I know it to be true because that's how I change. See, when I had major addictions and stuff like that, and it was still running through my mind, because even though God had touched me, that stuff was running through my mind. Come on, somebody say amen. You know what I'm talking about. You know, you think you got the power over something, and then 3 weeks later, that thing come and revisit you. And that thing that you thought you had power over, it now shows you that it has power over you. But you know, the root of that is your desire. The root of that is what you crave. The root of that is what you long for. You hear what I'm saying? And see, you can't blame it on nobody but yourself. Come on, somebody say amen. I couldn't blame it on nobody. Maybe I just preached to myself. See, one day I had to get in my prayer closet and say, God, I like this. And unless you change my addiction, unless you change my craving, unless you change my desire, guess what? I won't change because I like doing what I'm doing. See, some people just don't quit drinking because they like to drink. And they just need to be honest with God and say, you know what, God? I like to sip on some scissor. So you better catch what I'm saying. Some people like to smoke and they don't care. And you can tell when they like to smoke because they'll come to church and then they'll leave church and then be puffing on the cigarette. And they'll tell you this right here. You know, I know I'm not supposed to do that, but God will take it away from me when he get ready. Baby, God ain't gonna take nothing from you. Amen. If you gonna get up in the morning, your hair ain't magically combed. That mess look nappy. You know it look nappy. Who's your pappy? You a problem child. And you get up in the morning and that hair is all messed up and you comb your hair, baby. I'm trying to tell you something. God made you in his image and in his likeness, and he gave you dominion. He gave you the power to change your life. He gave you the ability to renew your mind, because as a man thinketh in his heart, your mind, so is he. If you start thinking the right thoughts about yourself, about the people that are around you, guess what? You'll start seeing yourself differently. You'll start seeing the people that you hang around differently. You'll start seeing your circumstance differently. Even though you might be going through one of the most tragic situations in your life, you will have the ability to see that thing properly. Why? Because you change the way you think. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. But so we're going to walk through this process just for a minute. And we're going to settle a couple of things just to help you know that, guess what? You have the victory. John chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saying, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Take your name and say, it is finished. Now, you know what finished mean in the Greek? It means finished. Want to know what it mean in the Hebrew? It means finished. That means if it's finished. If you came over my house and you said, Pastor Claude, I want to help you cook that fried chicken. And I looked at you and said, it is finished. That means we don't need no Wesson oil. We don't need no frying pan. We don't need your little cow spotted gloves and stuff. We don't need none of that stuff. We don't need your help. Let's just sit down and eat the yard bird. Come on, somebody say amen. Let's eat some chicken. Amen. Macaroni and corn on the side. Glory be to God. Somebody say chicken. Take them and say, it is finished. That means we don't have to do nothing. Jesus already done it. I'm showing you something here. Now, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going somewhere. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We can go home right now. It's finished. If you're hot in here, please don't wave the Martin Luther King fan. Don't do that, because when you do that, you know, scientifically it's proven the more you move, the hotter it gets. Y'all do know that, right? People be... 2 Corinthians 5. Let's look at verse 17 and let's read it all together. On count of three, one, two, three. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, the word in is an English preposition that denotes location. Okay? Somebody say in. You are right now physically in this room. You are not outside. You are in this room. Understanding that the word in is an English preposition that denotes location, you are literally in Christ. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Say, I am in Christ. I am in Christ. I am in Christ. Now, if you are in Christ, according to this scripture, you are right now, not going to be one day, you are right now a new creature. The Greek language says one that has never, ever existed before. You are a new creature. But the problem is that we get people born again and they experience that little fuzzy bear feeling, you know, fuzzy, what, you know what I'm talking about. They get that feeling right at the altar, and then they feel like they're changing, because believers don't walk by feelings. We walk and we live by faith. They leave out of the room and they don't renew their mind to the promises of God, and they go back to doing the same stuff. And the Bible said the same spirit that left come back with seven of his homeboys and they make it worse. Yep. Somebody say amen. Amen. But right now, positionally speaking, you and I are new creatures in Christ Jesus. So I want to walk you through this process. Two things. Jesus said, it is finished. Take your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's finished. You don't got to work for your salvation. You ain't got to be holy. You ain't got to do all of that stuff. It's finished. What does the word holy mean? It means to be complete. It means to be whole. It don't mean to wear a big hat and a net over your face. Amen. It don't mean that. It means to be whole. It means to be complete. Amen. Amen. I heard Creflo Dollar say, see, some people don't believe you have to, you should wear makeup because that's not holy. No, that's ugly. Amen. Holiness is not what you look like on the outside. Holiness is what you are on the inside. Sin is not what you do. Sin is who you are. Whoever you are will determine what you'll do in life. So God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce and to divide asunder spirit and soul, joint and marrow. It discerns or distinguishes or separates every intent and thought of your heart. God's word is the only thing that has the ability to sanctify you or to separate you and make you holy, not outwardly, but inwardly. Come on, catch what I'm saying today. See, God wants you to be changed inwardly, not outwardly. We done did enough of that coming to church with the big hats and the long dresses and the big black Bibles and making everybody else feel like they condemned. But guess what? Go home smoking and a drinking and a smoking. Hey, yeah. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. That's what we did. But them days are over because we are not going to do church any longer. We are the church. So at this point right now, we got to change the way we live based upon changing who we are, based upon changing the way we think. Glory be to God. I'm telling you, God, see, God wants to do something in the earth. And the only way he could do something in the earth, if you allow Jesus to live through you, if you allow Jesus to love through you, if you allow Jesus to work through you, if you allow Jesus to talk through you. See, when I was in Daytona Beach and Gerard and I was rapping with Lil Rascal and Antonius and them, there was a man of God who was a bishop, and he came up to me and he said, Big Shadow, he said, listen here, there's one in a Doolum house that wants to rap it and ain't none of y'all. And we walked away and we caught what he said. See, it don't matter how good I rap or don't matter how good I preach. It only matters if what I do is submitted completely to Jesus. You got to catch what I'm saying. See, the Bible says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. You better catch what I'm saying. See, your life should exemplify all Jesus. That's why this message is titled, It's All Jesus. Because at some point in your life and some point in my life, we got to come to the end of ourselves. We got to come to the end of ourselves. See, as long as you and I continue to remain with a mindset that we are alive and we are not crucified with Jesus and the work on the cross is not finished, guess what? Every time somebody say the wrong thing to you, you will respond. So how do you equate a walking in love in that thing? You can't walk in love if you're still alive. Hey, there's a neighbor. We're going to a funeral today. There are four stages that every believer needs to identify with. And like I said, I'm going to teach these over and over and over and over. For some of you, you're going to say, I got it. For some of you who've been to church and didn't like church because it was too traditional, you're going to say, I got it. Now I understand. See, Christianity has a purpose. There's a purpose. Christianity ain't just coming to church, sitting down in the pew, taking an offering, hugging a few people, amen, showing off your Sunday suit, you know what I mean, and then going home. That's not Christianity. Christianity is a lifestyle of allowing Jesus to live through you. Amen. Somebody say amen. Galatians chapter 2, let's turn there. The first stage is the cross. Now, next week we'll have some things up here where you guys can see. But I want you to picture in your mind the cross. Somebody say the cross. The first stage is the cross. Imagine the cross is over here. The second stage is the burial. Somebody say the burial. The third stage is the resurrection. And the last stage is the seating. Somebody say the seating. Okay, we're going to identify with that over the course of the next however long it takes us to do it until everybody get it. Amen. See, I'll be... at the grocery store and I'll see you there shopping and somebody will cut in front of you and I'll see if Jesus is living through you or not. How about you driving down the street, you know what I mean, and somebody throw around and give you the F-bomb, you know, they just drive around you, hey, you know, and you look at them and you, hey, back, amen, you're living and not Jesus, amen. My kids say, Daddy, how can you do that? Why do you wave at everybody? I said, because I'm their pastor. Don't I say that, Rosie? Eventually, they're going to be coming to my church. I'm their pastor. You know what I mean? I lose my temper sometimes, too. My wife do also. Amen.
All the time. Amen.
Amen. She came to my office one day. She said, honey, slap me in the hand. I said, why? She said, slap me. She stuck her hand out there, slapped me. She said, I was driving down the street, and this guy drove past me, him and his girlfriend, and they start cussing me out. You bleepity bleep, bleep, bleep. And she sped up the truck and was like, you bullhead faggot. Tell you never say, we real here. Now, y'all know y'all done called somebody a faggot before, but when you come to the church, you just switch, put your mask on. I'm holy. And you leave the church, you bullhead faggot. You know I'm... See, that's the whole problem. That's why people falling. Come on, somebody say amen. That's why they falling, because they acting like something that they're not. And see, we got to be real. That's what the Bible tells us. Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. I got faults. You got faults. If we start sitting down and we start talking and say, you know what, man? I can't do it without you, man. I need you. I got this thing that just keep running through my mind, and I try to fight, and I try to fight. And you say, wait a minute, brother. I got your back. Let me pray with you. Let me hold you, make you accountable. Guess what? Then you won't be going cheating on your wife. Somebody say amen. Because guess what? Everybody in here think about it. Not everybody do it. I'm going to talk real to you today. See, your act of sin might not be what mine is. And mine might not be what yours is. Therefore, I thank God that it is finished. I thank God that it's finished. Because now I can relate to Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Because guess what? How many people don't have some shortfalls? Amen. Amen. If you ain't raised your hand, you are a liar. Bible say all liars going to go to the lake of fire. Amen. Praise God. Don't you hate when you see your favorite preacher just fall? You're like, wait a minute. You know, one of my favorite preachers, you know what I mean? You know, he was married to a beautiful woman, had 4 or 5 kids, and then 2 weeks later, he had another woman sitting in the podium. I'm like, what the, what? Come on now. But I don't know what that man was going through. Come on, somebody say amen. You don't know what that man was thinking. You don't know what was tormenting him. You don't know what was going on in their household. Amen. Praise the Lord. Galatians 2 and 20. First day, somebody say the cross. The Apostle Paul, who did not die on the cross with Jesus. He wasn't even there. His salvation occurred after Jesus died, after Jesus ascended. On the road to Damascus, the Bible said that Paul was knocked off of his horse, amen, and then he was blinded, and he had to go to a man of God to lay his hands on him so he could receive his sight. But here in this scripture, the Apostle Paul identifies with Jesus. He said, I am crucified. Somebody say crucified. I am crucified with Christ. That word crucified literally means that at the same time Jesus was crucified, I was crucified. The Apostle Paul had the audacity to say that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Look at verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. For you to get up in the morning and think that it's by your own works, your own efforts that your salvation is based upon, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. Your salvation is solely based upon what he did and not what you're doing. I'm going to say it again. It's based upon what he did and not what you're doing. I'm going to say it again. It's based upon what he did and not what you're doing. Because if it's based upon what you're doing, you might as well hang it up. Because guess what? As soon as you get the victory over that thing that you're doing now, there'll be something else that'll rise up to let you know that you need Jesus. That's why the Paul said, I don't frustrate the grace. Listen here, I ain't trying to withhold the grace of God. I realize that I'm saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. Are you catching what I'm saying? The number one problem with us is that we have not identified with the cross. You and I have to realize that when he died, we died. When he died, that old sinful nature died. Now, guess what? Like we said in our class this morning, you're going to have the battle with sin, flesh, and the devil all the days of your life. But the power that you have is that you can always revisit the grace. You better catch what I'm saying. You can always turn to the grace. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says that if you do sin, if you do miss it, guess what? Jesus Christ is your advocate. You can face the cross and identify with the cross and say, you know what, devil, you a liar. I'm not going to be judged because he was already judged. Now listen, I'm not giving you a license to go out and do wrong. I'm just letting you know that you're going to do wrong if you don't apply the grace to your life. Are you catching what I'm saying? How many people made a vow to God? Lord, I'm going to make a vow to you, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to fast. And then you drove by Taco Bell, and you was like that cartoon character back when I grew up. Not that mess is going on TV now. When I grew up, the guy was floating, and then his nose like. You know what I'm talking about? You start smelling that hamburger. What that guy saying, Pink Panther? Anyhow, you know what I mean? You start smelling that hamburger and you start smelling that taco. You know, and it's awful funny. Every time I want to fast, my wife want to cook up a big old meal. You know what I mean? And I come home and I'm smelling it through the door. You know what I mean? And she look at me and I'm in a problem now because I want to honor the Lord and I want to fast, but she done cooked. And if I don't eat that food, I'm going to have a problem. Come on, somebody say amen to this. That's why I trust in the grace of God. I'm just telling you something. The cross is a safe place. But there's life after the cross. See, many Christians, they stay at the cross. You could tell the ones because they've been saved 6 months and they keep coming to the altar. You know what I'm talking about? They keep coming to the altar. Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. I have drank some juice and some gin. And you know what I'm talking about? They keep coming to the altar, and they just keep coming to the altar. That's because they have not recognized themselves dead to sin. The next stage is the burial. Turn to Romans chapter 6. I'm just laying the foundation. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, we're going to a funeral today. And who in the casket? Me. Amen. Let me just say it again. As long as you are alive, Jesus can't live. You in the way. We in the way. When we still keep, listen, this is me being in the way. Somebody got attitude. You know what I'm talking about? They got a funky old attitude, and I'm in the way. I get attitude back. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Christian people make up all kind of, I can love them, but I don't have to like them. Y'all, we make up all kind of stuff. But name one time did Jesus ever say that? He ain't never say, thou shalt love them, but thou shalt not have to like them. He didn't say that. He said, love them. He said, thou shalt forgive them. You know, except what? No, he didn't say that. He said, when you forgive a person, forgive them 70 times 7. Daily. Daily. But if I'm still alive, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to hold unforgiveness. I'm going to hold grudges. I'm going to hold records of wrongs. I like to use this analogy. Whoever watched that movie, Bruce Almighty, you remember when he went up to that white room and he pulled out that drawer? And that drawer kept going and kept going and kept going. That's how some people's inventory of record of wrongs are. And you say, I love everybody. I don't hold no record of wrongs until they push that right button. Then boom, that drawer come open. Y'all know what I'm talking. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Way back in 1971 at 6 p.m., that person cussed me out and said this to me on the telephone. And I can love them, but I don't have to like them. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You're still alive. Amen. Let's look at the burial right here. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that the grace may abound? God forbid. Somebody say, God forbid. How shall we that are what? Dead to sin. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm dead to sin. And so are you. You say, I'm dead to sin. And so are you. Now, I'm going to get you. I'm going to go somewhere. Now, this is the Bible talking. This ain't Pastor Claude. I'm just a messenger. Watch this right here. It says, know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. Somebody say buried. See, the second stage is recognizing that you were buried with him through baptism or by baptism. And people get baptism misunderstood. There are some religions that believe that if you don't get baptized in Jesus' name in the water, you're going to hell. But that's not what the Apostle Paul is talking about. The word baptism is the Greek word baptizo, which means to be identified with. So when you and I baptize people, which is a legal church ordinance, it's a New Testament church ordinance. When we baptize people, we baptize them in the name of Jesus. What they're doing is they're identifying with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Are you seeing this? You go under and you stay under and he comes up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The old man is dead. The old sinful nature is dead. You know that thing that's hanging you up and making you say stuff that you don't want to say and treat people the way you don't want to treat them? And once you're done talking to people the way you talk to them, you come back and say, man, I hate that I said that. I hate that I did that. Come on, somebody say amen. That person is dead. But what you and I have to do is we have to reckon ourselves indeed dead to sin. Look what the Bible says in verse 5. It said, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. That's the first thing you got to do. You got to recognize that you've been planted together in the likeness of his death. Watch this right here. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, it's easy. It's easy for us to look at the likeness of being at fault. Most of us identify with the fallen Adam or the fallen nature of Adam. Come on, somebody raise your hand if I'm telling the truth. You know what I mean? Most of us can identify with that sinful nature. But the word of God wants you and I to identify with that resurrection life. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. In Ephesians chapter 1, that word is the word kratos, which means the indomitable power of God, the irresistible power of God. You will get to the place when you start thinking on things that are above, when you start thinking about the resurrection power of God, thinking that you are made in his image and made in, thinking that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Every time you pull that mental Rolodex, the right thoughts are in your mind and you start thinking that you are above only and not beneath. Thinking that you are the head and not the tail. Thinking that you are the lender and not the borrower. All of a sudden what's going to happen is you're going to start walking out what you've been thinking. Why? Because the grace of God is waiting for you to agree with God. You gotta catch what I'm saying. So you have to reckon yourself. Look at this. Look at verse 7 here. For he that is what? Amen. Is freed from sin. Amen. I came to pronounce something over you today in the name of Jesus. You are free from sin. Amen. I decree it. You are free from sin. You got, man, don't be scared of it. Just take it and chew it. I'm free from sin. Sin has no power over me. Glory to God. This is good, man. I could turn around, sit down, and amen. It says, if you be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also what? Live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead died no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Look at verse 11. Here's your and our responsibility. Likewise. Somebody say likewise. Likewise. Reckon yourselves indeed to be dead to sin. But alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. You have the responsibility. I have the responsibility of daily reckoning. Somebody say reckoning. It's an accounting term. It means to sum everything up. Bring everything up and then equal it out and realize that guess what? Sin has no power over me. I'm dead to sin. Come on, say that 3 times. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. Well, what does that mean? That means that if I take a casket, and I'm going to have one here because we're going to illustrate this message for the next few months. If I take a casket and there's a dead man laying in that casket, he's a dead man. I'm going to be blunt. I could take a Hustler magazine and I could put it over his face. And what will he do? Why? I could walk over to him and I could pimp slap him. And what would he do? Why? I could talk about his mama, say, yo, mama got a booty that looked like 2 Mack trucks going down the street backwards with holes in the back of it. I'm sorry, y'all. That's just me. What would he do? Why? Do you know why we still responding to things like that? Because we still alive. Amen. Are you here? We're still alive. As long as we are alive, we will respond. Come on, say that. As long as I'm alive, I will respond. See, people, don't nobody get offended how I talk. I just like to just say it like I say it, that we can just go ahead and get the chicken out the bucket, and we straight. Amen. We can just get it out. Amen. Everybody cool with that?
Yeah.
Amen. Because we need some change, don't we? Amen. People still getting offended over little stuff. People say stuff and you think they said something they didn't say it. That's called the spirit of offense. And if you are easily offended, your destiny will be off and ended. Did you just hear what I said? You got to get some muscle to your shoulders, get some back to your bones, some bone to your back. You got to grow up and get mature and not be worried about every little thing that's coming at you. Because guess what? As long as you live in this physical body, somebody ain't going to like you. Somebody going to think your hair ain't right. Somebody going to think your ears too big. My daughter come to me and be like, Daddy, do I got big teeth? I said, baby, when I was little, I had big old teeth. I looked like Bugs Bunny. My ears was like satellite dishes. If I went down the street, you would think it was a car going down the street. Look like, amen. Anyhow, I had big ears. I had big old feet with astronaut toes. Listen, everybody gonna have something negative to say about you. That's why you ain't gotta worry about trying to go get, you know, your body fixed all up because of what somebody else think about you. What really matters is what do you think about you. Baby, if you 250 pounds, 300 pounds, and you love you, then baby, love you. Don't give a rat's fat butt about what nobody else think about you. People be in the bathroom throwing up because of somebody they saw on TV. Some little skinny crackhead girl that's taking pills and shooting steroids, and she really ain't real. Half of her body is plastic. She legally could be called a Barbie doll. But yet you want to base your life and base your personality and base you and how you are based upon that person, and they ain't even real. They don't even know who they are. You got to get to the place where you love you. Somebody say amen to this. When you start loving you, baby, everybody around you going to know you love you. And the more you fall in love with God, God is going to reveal who you really are, and you're going to fall in love with your Lord. Have mercy. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But you used to do that. Hey, it wasn't me. Somebody caught what I just said. Are y'all catching this? We can save ourselves some offense. We really could. We could save ourselves some offense with people. You know what I mean? Have you ever thought about, you know, what that person said? They looked at you wrong. All of a sudden, you done just made a whole story about how they looked at you. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. They done looked at you, and maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they had, you know, maybe their stomach was upset, and they keep running back and forth to the toilet. You know, maybe they going through some things, and they ran past you, and they didn't say hi. Now you all offended. I can't believe that person ain't say hi to me. They just walk by me. They don't never say nothing. That's rude. That's because you're still alive. I'm catching my spit in my mouth. You're still alive. And as long as we're still alive, we're going to respond like that. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, start giving people the benefit of the doubt. That means don't judge them before you know what's going on. Somebody say amen to this. You got to quit judging people. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Tell me, say the third stage. We've been raised up. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to point you to Jesus. Tell your neighbor, it's all Jesus. I want to point you to Jesus because that's the only thing I know that really helps us. You know what I mean? Religion don't help nobody. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. These kids don't want no religion no more. They don't want religion. You can look at them and say, you're going to go to hell. Ain't nobody scared of hell no more. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. People ain't scared of hell no more. No matter how many times you've seen Jesus and you went to heaven and all that stuff like that, these kids ain't caring about that. You know what I mean? They trying to hear some rapper or something like that. Or watch some on TV. You know why? Because we misappropriated the gospel. We taught them religion and tradition rather than the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God changes us. Religion makes us look good on the outside. You see the new Stacey Adams I got? You walk up in church and you're looking good, but on the inside it's all dead men's bones. You ain't never had a 5 minutes in the presence of God. If God was stepping into the room, you wouldn't know who he is because you ain't never spent no quality time with him. You don't know him by name. You don't even know who he is. But you know religion. You got all that down. How you doing? I'm blessed and I'm highly favored. Amen. Now you got all that stuff together. Amen. Come on. Amen. I'm walking in the favor of God, but on the inside, it's all empty. It's all empty. Come on, mama, talk to me. It's all empty. You hear what I'm saying? And so we got to get past those days because guess what? When we took these kids to camp, they had an encounter with the real Jesus. And it took some time because Jesus ain't no, how can I say it? Jesus don't just give out his pearls to swine. You got to show him you really want him. I promise you, Jesus said this right here. He said, if you love me, keep my word. He said, and if you do that, he said, I and the Father will come unto you and we'll make our abode and I will make myself plainly seen to you. I can honestly tell you this today. Your pastor, I know him. And I'm not saying I know him more than anybody else, but I know him. He's revealed himself to me. He's changed me. But guess what? It has cost me. Cost me everything. My life ain't even my own no more. I done just threw in the towel. I don't belong to myself any longer. Amen. I don't get up in the morning and make my own decisions. My wife will tell you, it's hard to live our life. Amen. When you live in a life of faith, it's very hard to live that kind of life. Because most people, can I be real? Most people will live according to the world and bring that system. And they take and they import the world system into the kingdom of God. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Amen. And it looks like God. That's the scary thing. It looks like God. But the Bible said it's a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 20. Look at this right here. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him what? Now remember, he was on the cross. He went into the tomb. Now the Bible's talking about him being raised and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places far above principality. This is powerful right here. Far above principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, we ain't going to go into this too deep, but tell your neighbor, say, we are the church. We are not a weak, crippled, lame, traditional, religious organization. We are the most powerful, living, growing, vital organism on planet Earth. You got to hear what I'm saying. Before Obama got called and elected, you got called. You got elected by God. The word church means ecclesia, ekaleo, the called and the elected. God handpicked you. God pulled you out of your mess so he can live in and through you. You got to catch what I'm saying. See, when I was out there on those streets in Detroit, Northwest Detroit, Southwest Detroit, Belleville, Michigan, guess what? I can feel God's pull on my spirit. I knew God was calling me because I would be up in the drug house with my Bible open. You better catch what I'm saying. I knew he was calling me, and my parents did not go to church. See, you knew God was calling you, and he pulled you. But he didn't just pull you out so you can live holy and wait for the sky to open and you fly away and whew, life is better. No, he pulled you out so he can send you back in. He pulled you out so he can do some things on the inside of you, change the mindset that you have so he can send you back. Why? Because you are the physical representation that God is alive and that Jesus is Lord. You got to catch what I'm saying. They're not going to know unless you reveal it to them. Somebody say amen to this. I done lost my page. I'm going to finish right now. Watch this right here. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now it's talking about him at the cross, being buried, and then being raised up. And then the Bible said, you hath he quickened. This word quickened here in the Greek means given life together with. That means when he was raised up, you were raised up. But not the old you. The new creature that is in Christ Jesus came up with him. Now watch this. Now, he didn't come up and then say, you come on up. That's not what happened. In the mind of God, when he came up, you were in him. I'm going to do it again. When he came up, you were in him. When he sat down, you were in him. He sat down at the right hand of God. Equal authority, equal power, equal dominion. You got to catch what I'm saying. When he sat down, we were in him. We sat down together with him. When God reached over and gave Jesus the right hand and said, my God, all power is given unto you. Guess what? You and I were in him. But the problem is we still see ourselves as that old person. How can I be called by God? How can I be chosen by God? But you got that I ain't no more. That I is dead. He's gone. Doesn't exist no more. Likewise, reckon yourself indeed dead to sin. Don't exist. When he came up, I came up. Guess what? I'm in Christ and now I am far above principality, far above power, far above might. Oh my God. See, the devil don't want you to hear this. He don't mind you hearing religion. But this thing right here changed the way you talk. It'll change the way you walk. It'll make you change the people you hang around with. It'll make you change. You better catch what I'm saying. You'll stop settling for this down here and start requiring this up here. This thing right here make you stop making excuses. Well, I can't do it because of this right here. And, you know, my mama did this and my daddy did this. And I'll shut that mess up. Listen, it's time for you to lay down there and die and let Jesus live. Amen. Whew, I'm trying to stay on that page. I'm going to be done in just a second. Look at this right here. Look at verse 6. Ephesians 2 and 6. Look what it says here. And said, and hath raised us up what? Together. That means at the same time. RJ, the same time. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter what they said. It don't even matter what they're going to say. I'm learning this myself now because people talk. You know they talk. People talk and everybody got an opinion of how it should be done and how they think you should do it. Come on, somebody say amen. But that don't matter anymore because I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. My address is in Christ. My geographical location, JB, is in Christ. I'm not the same person anymore. You know, that amazes me. You know, Jesus went into his town, and the Bible said he couldn't do many mighty works there because they kept seeing him as the Jesus they knew. Man, we used to play baseball with you. Man, you were playing basketball with us. How all of a sudden you the son of God? I'll tell you how the son of God. You want to know how? One day he was there fasting and praying in the wilderness. And that word came alive because the enemy had come at him and said, if you be the son of God, if you be the son of God. But before he went into the wilderness, he came there and he got baptized by John and he rose up out of the water and God spoke from heaven and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. So his father armed him with his identity before he went into that testing. So he got into that testing and the devil starts saying, if you be the son of God, if you be the son of God. But Jesus began to confess that word. It is written. It is written. It is written. No matter what he felt like, it is written. 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 See, you might be in your wilderness right now and it seems like your money gone, but it is written. The devil might have said something about your help, but it is written. Look at the other side of that. The Bible said in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, that Jesus returned into Galilee in the power of the Spirit. There was something different about being in the wilderness, finding out who he was. This time he knew who he was. And then he went into the temple as it was his custom. Y'all know what I'm about to say. And the Bible said the minister gave the scroll to him. And he used to do this every week, just like us. You know, you come to church and you hear the word and you hear the word and you hear the word. But one day that word comes alive. This day Jesus was armed with a living word. And he opened up the book to where it was written, Isaiah chapter 61, and said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, so on and so on and so on. Then the Bible said he closed the book. He gave it to the minister, and then he went and he sat down. And the Bible said all the eyes were astonished at him. And I began to wonder, why were they astonished at him? Because the seat that he sat in was reserved for the Messiah. That means that every week he would come in there and he never took that seat. But something happened in that wilderness that made him take that seat. Something gonna happen in one of these church services that's gonna make you take your seat. My God, he sat down in that seat, and the Bible said the people grabbed him and thrust him out of the city because he said these words, today, not tomorrow, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I am what this book been talking about. You got to catch what I'm saying. See, Christianity got to get past you and our three or four little church religion things. This book has to become a person. This process gonna make this word come alive. I promise you that. It's gonna make it come alive. You gonna start seeing yourself dead with him on the cross, buried with him in the grave, rose up with him, far above principality, power, might, and dominion. So when that bill come, guess what? You ain't scared. You ain't scared no more. You ain't scared about what they talking about you. Why? Because you know who you are. Glory to God. And the Bible said we were seated together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Tell you to say, neighbor, I'm seated with him. I'm seated with him. Are you catching this right here? It'll change your life. One more scripture. One more scripture. Turn to Colossians 3 and I'm done. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Tell your neighbor, say, we've only just begun. You seen that one, Rebecca? Only just begun. Ooh. He's something else. Look, Colossians 3. This is powerful. It says, if. That's powerful. If. If you then be risen with Christ. I'm going to ask you right now, are you risen with Christ?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you again, are you risen with Christ?
Yes.
Are you sure? Are you going to walk out of here and act like you're not risen with Christ? Are you risen with Christ?
Yeah.
If you're risen with Christ, that means that you and I are far above principality.
Amen.
Far above power.
Amen.
Far above might. Far above dominion. You got to catch this right here. There is nothing, no one, no circumstance, no situation that can stop a believer who knows who they are.
Amen.
In Christ. You got to catch what I'm saying. That's why it's important that you be taught the revealed word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know who you are. Look at this right here. If you've been risen with Christ, do what? Seek those things which are above. I remember when I first heard that taught, I thought, oh, don't put my mind on cars and carpet and chairs, but put my mind on heaven. So I start walking around like a dummy, putting my mind on heaven. I wonder what the streets look like. They say they paved in gold. The devil, pop, knocked me upside the head. You know what I mean? No victory in life. But then I got a revelation of what this scripture really means. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, comma. Now he's going to tell you where above is. You ready? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So he's telling you, watch. You are no longer alive as you know it to be. How many ever seen the movie Matrix? Do you remember when Neo got his real power? When he died. Are you hearing this right here? He got his real power when he died. I believe God had to allow that movie to be made because we was teaching so much garbage in the church. Amen. So the people can see who they really are. And see, this message we're doing, it's all Jesus. We're going to walk you through the synoptic gospels. We're going to talk and we're going to show you Jesus is the sample son. If you and I have identified with the cross and we settled that. Come on, say we settled that. If we've identified with the grave, we settled that. Say we settled that. When he was buried, I was buried with him. We identified with the resurrection. We settled that. Say we settled that. When he was raised up, we just showed you in the scripture. You were raised up with him, right? I didn't say whether you was going through problems or not. You got to get it in your mind. Your body will follow what you think.
Amen.
Your body will follow what you think. As long as you think bondage, you'll continue to be in bondage. Do you know that? Galatians chapter 4 says this right here. Though he be the Lord of all, he's just like a slave. You are the Lord of all. You are a joint heir with Christ. Look it up in the Greek language. You are a sharer in common. That means whatever Jesus has, you have. Have you ever prayed prayers like, Lord Jesus, help me do this, and Jesus, help me do this, and then and nothing happened? Amen. And you wondering why. And pretty soon we get accustomed to it and immune to it, like cockroaches. You spray them a few times, pretty soon they shake it off and they keep going. Amen. We got accustomed to it. You pray a few prayers, you get no answers, you just shake it off and keep going. But see, here's what God wants. And I'm going to say this. Kenneth Hagin wrote a book, and he said that a demonic spirit appeared to him. And I have to use this as an analogy. The demonic spirit appeared to him, and he looked at it, and he was like, Lord, help me. Rebuke this thing. And the Lord said, I can't. And when he said to him, I can't, he all of a sudden got a revelation here. Wait a minute. I got power over this. Then Kenneth Hagin looked at the demonic spirit and said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and it vanished. What am I trying to tell you? When you understand your identification in and with Christ, you're going to stop begging for stuff you already have.
Come on. Yeah. Say that.
You're going to stop trying to get God to do stuff when Jesus said, it is finished. You have authority over it. You have power over it. You're the head and not the tail. You are not the tail. You are not below. You are above only. Only. You cannot be defeated. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. No weapon, no financial weapon, no physical weapon, no sickness weapon, no disease, no gossip weapon, no lying weapon formed against you will prosper. Because you're going to condemn it. You get up in the morning, you say, Father, I take authority and I condemn every lying word that's been spoken over me. Well, how are you going to do that? Because I got authority. Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. And nothing shall by any means hurt you or injure you. You got to use your authority. Are you catching what I'm saying? You are a believer. You are not a doubter. You have joy. Unspeakable and full of glory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? My God. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound, well-disciplined, accurately thinking mind. You have the mind of Christ. Are you catching what I'm saying? What your natural eyes can't see and your natural ears can't hear and your natural mind cannot conceive, you know, because the Spirit of God on the inside of you reveals to you every day of your life deep, intimate mysteries and secrets, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God. It belongs to you. You have it. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are hidden in Christ are in you right now. You cannot be defeated. You cannot be stopped. I'm speaking to somebody's spirit. Somebody going to catch this thing right here. The devil is a liar. Your business will prosper. It will grow. It will succeed. But guess what? It's going to happen by grace, not by human effort, not by human striving, not by human toiling. It's going to happen because you get up in the morning and you speak the word only. Then you put some feet to them prayers you've been speaking. But don't you dare go out there try to navigate business without first talking to the Holy Ghost. Because you are a believer. Believers don't act like that. You got revelation. And you got education. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Come on, stand to your feet. I mean, my God.